Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show has grown from, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And that's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
We really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.penlive.
Boys Lip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Delvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiasts and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Out there, because it is such gorgeous weather here in Florida. We are having the classic Chamber of Commerce weather. Whenever the Chamber of Commerce says move to Florida, this is what the weather's going to be like. This is it. This is what it's like here. Sorry about the little delay on opening here. It was a few minutes after before I got on. I had trouble with Skype, and so it finally got connected, and we're on, and we're good to go. Mike's not with us tonight. Mike is working tonight and tomorrow night. He works Halloween stuff at his job, and so he's there. He's not going to do his radio program tomorrow night because he's working then, but again, RadioDJMike.com. Check it out. All of his programs go through that and everything. You can find out what he's doing, all that. Great show. A lot of fun. Taste requests. That's every Friday and Saturday night except for tomorrow night. Every Friday and Saturday night from 7 to 9. So that's RadioDJMike.com. We have a guest tonight. This is Halloween month, and our guest tonight is Joy Neighbors from Joy's Joy of Wine. Yay! So she's going to be on with us, and we're going to talk about haunted and spirit wineries and stuff. And we'll continue next week. I got a winery I need to get in touch with and have them tell me about their haunted winery. There's one in Virginia, and there's one in California. So, and Nebraska. I forgot that one. We're going to get a hold of Joy. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to say goodbye to you for a few minutes. I'm going to play some music. I got something here for you. But I need to call her, and I need to figure out how to do this on this thing, because I am always – I don't do this. Mike does this, and Mike is the one that knows what he's doing, knows how to do this and all that much better than I. So I am going to give you some little background music here, let you listen to a little bit of jazz, and I will be back shortly, hopefully with Joy on the line with me, if I can get a hold of her. So bear with me and enjoy the music, and we'll be right back. All right, we got Joy here. We're going to bring her on, and she's on live now. Hello, Joy. Welcome to the show tonight. It's glad to have you back.
Hello, Ron. It's great to be back.
Yeah, you have been busy since we've last talked to you last year. You've moved, and you're starting a new project and all that stuff. Let's talk about that first, not the move, the new project. Let's talk about that first here.
Well, I am kicking off in November a new company, which is called Tour de Joy. Original name, I know, but what I'm going to be doing, it just kind of came to me. What I'm going to be doing is offering half-day and full-day tours in the Cincinnati tri-state area, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And there will, of course, be wine tours. I'm hoping to add some sort of libation to each tour just to, make it fun. But I'm looking at doing a lot of unique, I guess. It's not a favorite word of mine, but these tours are going to be different than most of the other tours. And it won't just be, we're going to three wineries or we're going to three breweries or distilleries. We're really going to mix it up. I'm finding a lot of stuff in the Cincinnati area that, people really aren't too aware of. So I'm going to get them out of their comfort zones a little bit and get them to cross the Ohio and go into Indiana and Kentucky and visit some of the places there that are, they've got some really cool things. In Kentucky, they have the a ventriloquist museum that... it sounds bizarre, and actually, I'm going to make it an oddity tour.
Oh, there you go.
There's a whole lot of odd things you can do, too. So each tour is going to be themed, in a different way. And we have, I'm going to kick it off on November the 8th, a Saturday. I'm going to do a half-day tour, and it's going to be wine, dinner, and a comedy improv show.
Oh.
And then on the 15th, we're going to turn around and do a pre-holiday libation tour. So you can try some different wines from wineries you would probably never find. I mean, these are the little mom and pops that you call and make an appointment. And, it could be as rustic as out in their barn or as cool as, a recreated chateau. It's just all these really neat places I'm finding. And having been someone who had a winery, I know how cool it is to get people in who've never been there before. You've got a way to get them to step in and to try the wine and tell them your story and really get them to kind of fall in love with the atmosphere and the whole place. So that's what I'm hoping to do for some of these small wineries and museums, mansions. There's a harp factory in Rising Sun, Indiana, that I am just dying to take people to. They make world-class concert harps. And there's just so many things I found that I'm just, as you can tell, really excited to get going with it.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating. Yeah, I've been to that area there that you're talking about. I have a great aunt who lives in, I got a blank now. Where does Aunt May live? I'm asking my engineer. Xenia, where the tornado is.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah. Sure, that's up by Dayton, yeah.
Yeah, I got a great aunt who lives up in Xenia, and we were there, I guess it's been 5-6 years ago now, but we did that little tour. My wife and I did that tour also, and we dropped my mother-in-law off to visit her sister, my great aunt, and we went down to Kentucky and visited wineries in Kentucky and around there. And there's a cooperage in Kentucky also in that area. We didn't get a chance to visit that, which I'm sad we didn't. But we came across the Ohio River and visited some wineries right on the river. And then there was a winery downtown Cincinnati that we visited. Very nice people and great. They also sold kits and different things. And it was a great experience. We tried to catch some small wineries and stuff. And so you have lots and lots of areas there that you can work with because there's so many things around there.
There are. It's amazing. And like I said, my husband and I, we lived in Cincinnati and Dayton for about 10 years. So we're familiar with the area, and you kind of get in that mindset of you don't cross the river.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Having lived there and knowing that, it will be so neat to get these people into another section that's right there in their backyard, but they don't really grasp that it's so close, and it's so versatile. There are so many things. There's a little town in Indiana called Metamora, and it's a canal town. They still run the canal, you know, for tourists, and they are going to be doing their Christmas walk in December. And, I mean, the place is gorgeous. It's lit up, and they start when they light it dark. You know, 5 o'clock, the lights come on, and the stores are open until 9 or 10 o'clock. And I'm going to do some Christmas trips up that direction and some Christmas trips down to Madison, Indiana, which is, oh, I cannot think now who it was that said it was the most beautiful little town on the Ohio. Maybe Mark Twain, somebody like that. But it's really another one of those, you know, with the Victorian houses, and it's a downtown that's really fun to walk in. It's got the old shops, and yet there's some eclectic things. And I think it's the oldest still operating tavern in Indiana. So we'll do a dinner there and, you know, just kind of mix it up and have a good time.
Wow. We have a guest that's called in here. I'm going to bring them on. Mike usually sets and talks to him for a second and let you know, see. But let's bring them on and see. And hello, you are on All About Wine. Welcome. Are you there? Oh, they hung up. So I guess they didn't want to talk with us.
Okay.
So, all right. Whoever called in, if you just want to sit there and listen by a call-in line, then go ahead. I won't bring you on the line anymore. with Mike here, he usually jumps in and talks to those people and checks it out for me. But with me just on here, I have to control everything. And I found we found some really, really unique little wineries. There's one on the Ohio River that's in a restaurant, and we walked into it, and it was a restaurant. We said, are you a winery? I said, yes, we are. What would you like to try? And we tried, like, 4 different wines, and they are right on the river. And I said, you know, floods, do you flood? And they said, oh, yeah, every time the Ohio floods, it comes up. Hopefully it doesn't come into the building. It just up underneath it. And a lot of those places along the Ohio are like that. But we found some great wineries in Kentucky, too, that it's just some beautiful, beautiful wineries. And one thing I love about Kentucky is you don't have a problem finding a winery. The signage is so fantastic in that state that it takes you to the front door. I mean, it's really fascinating how they promote the wines and the wineries in that state. So
they are coming along. So it's another one of those kind of hidden jewels that people don't think of when they think of going to a winery. That they think of bourbon. Kentucky's known for bourbon.
Yeah.
And
well,
there really are great. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, really. But yeah, Kentucky is really, you're right. People think of bourbon and they don't consider the fact that there's wineries there. But one of the things I found that was just fascinating, every winery, I mean, without exception, every winery we walked into in Kentucky, they hand you their menu of their wines and they say, "We used to be a tobacco farm, now we're a winery," because that's what they did there. And it just all converted now over to wineries, and they've gotten away from the tobacco farms and stuff. And so, but that's how they greet you. "We used to be a tobacco farm, now we're a winery."
Yeah, the state was very helpful in helping those tobacco farms convert, because they were going to lose their livelihood. And the state came in and said, "Okay, how about vineyards? You guys can do vineyards. You know, if you can do tobacco, you can do vineyards." And a lot of them looked at that and said, "Yeah, I think I'd like to do that." And it's amazing. You can go in some of the tobacco barns are still on the property. You can still tour that if you want. And there are some that have, you know, totally gotten away from it, and they are now simply touting the wines. So it's kind of a mixed bag what you get, but you always get greeted. It's the Southern hospitality.
Yeah.
You know, you're always greeted and made to feel welcome, and they love for you to try their wines. And that's the coolest part, is to really talk to that winemaker and find out why they crafted it this way or that way, and kind of pick their brain on how they did it and why they did it. And you know, it's so much fun to do that.
And you mentioned some of the barns. A lot of those wineries in Kentucky have, in fact, almost all of them have a eating establishment or a restaurant or something hooked right up to them, which is all part of the ambiance that they do. But this Equus Run, if I remember it correctly, Equus Run has their old tobacco barn that they converted into a reception hall, a meeting hall, whatever. And it's just absolutely gorgeous. You walk in the front door, and there is literally a creek that runs through the barn that you walk over a little bridge into the reception, into the floor area and stuff. But they've just absolutely gorgeous areas there. I absolutely loved it. It was just beautiful, beautiful areas. So
and the country is gorgeous, too. Brian and I were down there for about a year near Lexington, and you're talking horse country, hilly country, and it's just stunning.
Yeah, and the grass is really blue.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
It has really that is. Name for a reason.
Yeah, it really is blue grass. Yeah. So everyone, do you have a website for your new venture there, Facebook, any of that stuff, so if people are going to be in the area, they can get in touch?
It will be up shortly.
Okay.
I'm a little... I've got a speech I'm giving, two presentations next Saturday for the Indiana State Library and their genealogy fair. So I've been working hot and heavy on that when I should have been getting my website done. I'm a little behind. I procrastinate a little too much, but, you know, it all falls into place at the end. So I will have that up by the end of the month.
If someone wants to find it, then where do they... where can they go to find the web address?
Okay.
I mean, can they connect with Joy's Joy of Wine or Grave Interest or something?
No, it's all separate. It will be tourdjoy.com.
Okay. So y'all make a note of that, and it'll be up in a while here. And if you're in the Cincinnati area or that area there, then, you know, it gives you something unique and special to do there. So, great. Yeah, it sounds exciting. Sounds like fun. It sounds like you're putting more stuff on your plate.
I am. I know. And if you're in Cincinnati, you call me.
I will. I definitely
will.
We'll
give you a tour.
I've got your number here. I definitely will. I mean, I'm trying to talk my mother-in-law into making another trip up to visit her sister. But her sister's 104, and my mother-in-law is going to be 105 next month. And so... It's a little hard to talk them into it. Yeah. So,
wow, that is cool.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, well, Halloween coming up, October. This is our haunted month. Do you you have some haunted wineries, haunted establishments we can talk about?
Oh, you know I do. In fact, when you were talking about doing some distilleries in Kentucky, did you go to Buffalo Trace?
Yes, yes, we did. Yes.
Did you know it's haunted?
Yeah, we went to Buffalo Trace. Buffalo Trace is a really, really neat distillery, neat place there. I mean, very large and just beautiful, and they are haunted. You're right. You're right.
And they get into the spirit of things, too, because in October, every Thursday evening, they have their haunted tours.
Oh, do they?
Yes, they do. I thought that was so cool. Most of the places, and we discussed this last year, most of the wineries and the restaurants and the distilleries, they play this down. And when we had a winery which was haunted, we did not play that down. I had paranormal groups come in, and, you know, we had girls' night, and the paranormal groups went around and did, you know, tests and things. And it was that it's haunted, so why not just let people know that, and they can come and, you know, take it in these spirit of things. So it was, we
right.
had a lot of fun with that. But most places, they really don't want to talk about it. And Buffalo Trace is right out there saying, yep, Thursday night, come by, and we'll take you on a haunted tour.
Oh, cool. The haunted, have you been on the tour?
I have not. I want to.
What is the spirits that are haunting the spirits there? Is it Civil War, Indian? Do you know?
Well, I do. actually, one of the so-called haunts is the man who ran it for several years. His name was Colonel Blanton, Albert Blanton. And he purchased the property. He built what was called Stony Point Mansion in 1934. And they say that you can still hear his footsteps walking through the house. And they have seen him in the sunroom where he died. And they know it's him because he always wears his signature bowler hat.
Uh-huh.
And they also have heard humming, which can be heard throughout the house, and the employees think that that was the housekeeper named Sarah. And she's still going about her homemaking duties and obviously still a pleasant soul in death as she was in life.
Oh. Oh, that's cool. That is cool. That's, you know, and that's a big establishment there. Does he just stay in the house, or does he roam the entire building complex?
I think he is mainly seen just in that house.
In the house,
huh? They have a building, Warehouse C, and that was built in 1885. And they had, I don't know when it happened, but at some point in time, there were workers in the warehouse trying to turn product out, and they heard a disembodied voice simply yell, "Get out."
Ooh.
And there was enough intensity in that voice that they all left. And yeah, as for whatever reason, because they were told or because they didn't know what was happening, but as the last man ran out the door, a wall inside the building collapsed.
Oh, wow.
And because of that warning, no one was injured.
Oh.
So there's still someone keeping an eye out around there to make sure that the plant is operating well and the employees are taken care of.
And but safe.
There are a lot of reports of, you know, cold spots on the property, shadow figures, and a lot of voices that you hear whispering or you will hear mumbled conversation. And there's no one there, and you can't place what's being said. But that's some of the hauntings they have going on there.
Oh, you know, and we were there when we went there. We had the misfortune of getting there later in the afternoon and just missed their last tour. And so we were able to wander around just a little bit there and see stuff and all that. And I didn't see anything about the hauntings of the place. I'm sad I didn't now. I wish I had checked into it even more. But that's, if anyone's traveling in that area there. And that's, and I'm trying, that's north of the capital.
I can't think of the town. Frankfurt, yes, it is. It is the capital. Sorry.
Yeah, just north of the capital. Because I remember that distinctly because we left Buffalo Trace and we drove to the capital and we're going down this residential street, literally a residential street, and there was the Capitol building right in front of us. And we were just absolutely amazed that the Capitol building was just like setting in a neighborhood. And so that's why I remember that so distinctly there. So,
Have you been to the cemetery there?
Yes, as a matter of fact. We stopped. We not very long. It was getting dark. But, yes. And because it was Kentucky and the Civil War significance and all that. So, yes. But approaching dusk, and that it was just a quick drive-through and back out.
You didn't see Daniel Boone's grave?
No.
Or his his alleged grave?
No, we didn't get a chance to anything. We just so we can say we were there, and that was just about all it was. Not, and we were moving, traveling, and so we didn't spend the night in that area there. So,
mm-hmm.
But he
is supposed to be buried there, but he actually, of course, you know, he helped settle Kentucky. He brought families through the Cumberland Gap. And he located in that area around Richmond, Lexington, which is Boonesboro, where he started that, the fort, and then it became a town. And after a while, he started having some problems. He was accused of trying to help. Well, he was trying to help settlers come in, and they were giving him money to go back to buy land at the land office, and he was basically hijacked and robbed. So he lost all of the settlers' money that he'd been given. So then he had a bad taste in his mouth about Kentucky and what had happened, so he went to Missouri and lived there for several years. And that is where both he and his wife died. And they were buried in Marthasville, Missouri, in unmarked graves. And so they decided later on in the 1840s to put some stones on them. And then it was 1845, 46, when Frankfurt decided they wanted to be the place where Daniel Boone is buried. So they go into Missouri, and they see the new stones, and they dig up the body of him and his wife, Rebecca, and bring them to Frankfurt.
Oh.
But the folks in Missouri claimed that Daniel Boone's gravestone was in the wrong place. So they really didn't get Daniel Boone.
They got somebody.
Well, yeah, because they had a forensic anthropologist. I think that would be so cool. He did a plaster cast of the skull. I mean, they did some exhuming here and looked at some things. And basically he said that the skull belonged to an African-American.
Uh-huh.
So they do not think that Daniel Boone is now buried in this great elaborate grave overlooking the point in Frankfurt, but that he is still back in Missouri. That's just one of the little interesting tidbits about the Frankfurt Cemetery.
I was born and raised in Missouri, and I never knew that. So
oh, really?
Yeah, really.
You
really
need to get out to cemeteries more.
Yeah, it's not real high on my priority list.
As you can tell, it is on mine. So.
Yes, it is. Well, blogs and everything. But I, you know, whenever I tell people about Joy's Joy of Wine, and I still plagiarize your blog on the show, and I still tell people about it, but I always bring up your grave interest too. And I'm surprised at the number of people that are interested in that.
I know. It's its own little community.
Yes, it's amazing. You know, a lot of people. It's like, you know, I don't know. Well, yeah. Too bad Mike's not here. He's into that too. So he's
I know.
Gonna feel bad that he missed. talking about this. So, I found, and I don't know if you know about it, and I'm going to try to call them. I found that there is a winery in Virginia that's supposed to be haunted. Do you know anything about that?
Do you know the name?
You know, no, I don't. I have it somewhere, and I've been trying to look for it, and I will find it, but no, not in front of me. But somebody told me, somebody that came into the winery, told me that there is a haunted winery in Virginia. And so I just wonder if you had heard of it or if you're familiar with it. Yeah.
Hills right now, and I don't see Virginia. Hmm.
No.
That would be a new one. That would be cool.
Yeah, I'm going to try to call them and see if I can get a hold of them, and if they're haunted, get them on next week. So, you know, check out next week's program then, and okay. Maybe they'll be on there. I looked up haunted wineries on the internet. I punched in on search engines. I punched in like four different search engines, haunted wineries, and it's lacking in the information for haunted wineries. I did get three or four different hits for California, for wineries in California, which, you know, the old ones, I got a blank on those now too, but the old wineries in California, some of the old ones in Southern Napa and stuff like that.
Stag
Leap is one of them. Yeah, yeah, Stag Leap and stuff
like that. Is one of them. Now, Washington State has Chateau St. Michel.
Oh, do they?
Which is the oldest winery in Washington State. And, they have a lot of activity going on there. So the West seems to be much more haunted, actually, in a strange sense. But at least their drinking establishments are. Or they talk about them.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny that, you know, when you get to the West there, you expect haunted establishments, haunted wineries particularly, to be more so in the East, because a lot of these old buildings and old homesteads and old places that have been converted to wineries are in areas where you have the Civil War battles or around Civil War battles and stuff like that. And this does give you a possibility of, ghost. So, and yet you get out to the West and there's a lot of haunted establishments in the western part of the country. It always surprises me on that.
I think part of it is out West, they're not too concerned about saying the winery's haunted. And I think it's that weird thing. You cross the Mississippi, and we don't want to talk about that. Although they will tell you, you know, the asylums are haunted and the hospitals are haunted, but people kind of expect that because that's a building that life and death occurred in. So it's not quite as, I guess, off-putting as finding out that the restaurant you're sitting in is haunted and the footsteps you're hearing walking on the second floor. There's nobody really up there, so that's a little bizarre for those of us on this side of the river.
Yeah, when you look at it that way, you're absolutely right. So is there any around the Cincinnati area that, any establishments around the Cincinnati area that are haunted?
There are some mansions. As for restaurants or wineries or distilleries, I haven't pried that information out of them yet. I may have that next year.
Yeah, maybe. Well, we'll have to follow up and see if you can squeeze some stuff on. You said there are hotels?
Actually, there are some mansions in that area, and offhand I cannot tell you what the names are, but I have read about, some of the older, grander houses have usually are said to have the ghosts. Now,
yeah.
Spring Grove Cemetery does. Of course, I would know that.
Yeah,
here I am. Back to cemeteries again. But Spring Grove, they have... this is the second largest cemetery in the U.S.
Wow.
And there are a lot of notable people. bury their presidents, governors, you know, people who are well known around the world. But they also have their share of ghosts. They have some guard dog ghosts that guard a certain mausoleum. And if you step up on the steps too far, these two white dogs will appear. And they will sit and watch you until you go back down the steps and leave.
Oh, wow. Where is this cemetery?
Oh, it's right in the heart of Cincinnati.
Is it in the heart of Cincinnati?
Yes, it is. Oh, it's gorgeous. You can spend, well, maybe you could spend an afternoon. I could spend days there.
You could spend days there.
It's gorgeous, and I mean, it's the Arboretum, it's nature trails, the cemetery, the sculpture is magnificent. I mean, it really, really is. And they have a grave of a man, Charles Brewer, who was an optometrist, and he died in 1908, and of course, the legend is, he requested that his eyes be removed, put in glass, and then put in a bronze bust that is his likeness on a stone. And I have seen this, and I will tell you it is rather bizarre because you do get the feeling that those eyes are following you as you move around, and they're very crystal clear brown.
Oh,
but,
wow.
You know, it's also a very good possibility that they were actually glass eyes, and that's what it is. Regardless, that was his way of kind of keeping an eye on things after he died.
Wow. You said that it's the second largest cemetery in the country?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just odd, because you know you hear about all these military cemeteries and all that. That including military cemeteries?
No. But
okay.
That is the public. Now, you know what the first
cemeteries.
One is? The largest one in the U.S.
Where?
In Indianapolis, Crown Hill. And
oh,
you just
wow.
would not the Midwest. Yeah, you would
the
not
Midwest.
Think that it would be you. My first thought was, okay, it's got to be somewhere in California, but it isn't. It's all right here in the Heartland.
Or even up in the Northeast somewhere. I mean, that would be something you would consider, too, for big cemeteries up in the Northeast somewhere. But, wow. We talked last year about a couple of restaurants and stuff that you had attended that were haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Are they still promoting themselves as haunted and still doing their haunt walks?
Jan's Pizza in Westerfield by Indy, it's an Indy suburb, Indianapolis suburb, is still doing that. And that was actually, that was such a cool tour. As I told you, you know, last year, what really got me, I spent years in broadcasting and television. And they were telling us about, they had a television crew come in to do a program on the fact that they were haunted. And they had a reporter and her photog were upstairs shooting. And the woman who was shooting the camera had something push her against the wall of the staircase.
Wow.
And you know, she was trying to grip the camera and keep herself up. And she felt it go past her. And she took her camera and came down the stairs and said, "Nope, I'm not going back up."
That was it.
Yeah. And if your photog says, "I'm not doing it," then you better find someplace else to get the story because you're not going to have the picture.
That's right. Oh, that's so bizarre. Well, I always love to tell the story of the winery in Missouri, which I talked about this last year, but it's always well worth repeating now since we're in the October month. This is Bellevue Winery in Belvoir Winery in Liberty, Missouri, which is haunted, very haunted. In fact, they had the Sci-Fi Channel Ghost Hunters on there and searched for ghost on it. They said they found some paranormal activity. But the story, one of my favorite stories from that, when I was talking to the owner, he said that his daughter was, he was working late one night. Everyone went home, and he was the only one, and his daughter were the only two left there in the place. And he heard his daughter talking to someone in the hallway, and he went out to see, and he says, "Who are you talking to?" And she said, "Oh, that lady there." And he said, "There was no lady there. There was no one in the building except him and his daughter." So his daughter actually was talking to somebody or something there, and he could never see it. She was the only one that could see it. So, wow. Yeah, I know. That's my favorite story when I talked to him. But it's a very haunted place there, and then the winery itself encompasses such a small part of the whole complex, but the enormous buildings. But that used to be an Odd Fellows home. It used to be a hospital. It used to be an orphanage. It used to be, what was it, barracks for Civil War. All sorts of stuff in that complex.
A lot of history there.
Yeah, and so it was that. But that story of his daughter actually talking to someone, and that stuck with me. That was
That would make you stop.
Yeah, that really would. That make you wonder. And kids are supposed to be able to detect spirits better than adults. We just sort of say, "Oh, it doesn't exist," and then ignore it. Whereas kids still keep an open mind. So
that's true.
Yeah.
That's why you always have to wonder, you know, with their invisible friends.
Yeah.
Tell me more about this person.
Good point. My son had a visible friend, and then one day we didn't hear him talk about him anymore. And we go, "What happened to?" Well, I can't remember the name now. Uga something. I don't know. But we said, "What happened?" He says, "Oh, he died." And that was it. It was done. You know. So I don't know.
Wow.
It's weird stuff. Weird stuff. So have you discovered new haunted establishments? I noticed your latest blog, you were talking about some new ones.
Yes, it's like you were saying, if you type in haunted winery, you come up with a fistful, and it's always the same ones.
Yeah.
Now, it's different when you talk to people, because having been in the industry, I know of wineries in Kentucky that are haunted, but they will never tell you that.
Really?
Because employees have said, "Oh, you wouldn't believe what's happened." It's like, "Oh, no, we don't want to publicize it." Oh, okay, well. But, yeah, when restaurants, you know, I applaud the restaurants that stand up and say, "Yes, we're haunted," because you're thinking, how cool, and that's going to bring you more people, at least in October.
Yeah.
Indianapolis, once again, a very haunted city. I just did a blog yesterday on the Slippery Noodle. And, you know, it's the oldest continually operated bar in the original building in the state of Indiana. And it's the oldest commercial building that's still standing in Indianapolis. So it's got a whole lot of history already going on. It's just kind of like predestined to be haunted. And when you start, you know, talking to people and kind of exploring, it had a really bizarre history. I mean, it was opened up as this luxurious hotel right next to the train station in the 1850s, and that the people who stayed there were travelers. So, you know, you've got a lot of different energy, I guess you could say, going on in the building. And it was also a stop on the Underground Railroad.
Ah.
So you have things going on in the basement, where they would hide the slaves seeking freedom. And if they died there, they would, of course, dig under the basement floor, the dirt floor, and bury them. And they actually went in a few years ago and did an excavation, and there are human remains there.
Wow.
So that kind of, you know, does coincide with what the rumors are about the basement, which is now being used. It's been fixed up very nicely and is where one of the stages is. So it's, you know, you get cold spots that kind of move around. There is also supposed to be a black janitor, still dressed in his overalls, who obviously worked for one of the roadhouses, the inns, the lodging places, which it has been throughout its 150-year history. And he's still apparently on the job, still been seen in the basement working on things and happy to be there. So
Wow.
He was always happy to be there because he's still there. But there's a different kind of energy upstairs on the second floor, which they now use for storage. And that's where they actually had the inn. And it turns out that this was a really popular place for Dillinger's gang, for Brady's gang. They would come and they would shoot at the brick wall of the stable. You can still find bullet slugs lodged in there.
Really?
So this was kind of a hangout, a hideout for them. And the man who owned it at the time decided that he would, of course, make it more comfortable for them and brought in some working girls. So the upstairs became a bordello. And they had an incident one night where two Johns got into a fight. And one pulled a knife on the other and stabbed him to death. And suddenly, they had to close down the establishment upstairs. But that still seems to be played out at times. You know, that's one of those, you hear or you see something, and that's the story of what could be happening. And they also have one of the girls is seen standing in a window on the second floor looking out. And when you go up there, there's no one up on that floor.
Wow.
So it's kind of that, you know, and I loved this one. Bottles of alcohol stored on the second floor have been found to be open when no one's in the building. And I kind of took that one with a grain of salt. I'm thinking, right. So they're still celebrating.
That's interesting. That is, you know, yes.
it's a cool little place. And then, last year, I did the Gaslight Inn in Indianapolis. And that's another place that's over 100 years old. It's been everything, a grocery store, a confectionery, again, a brothel, even a morgue.
Uh-huh.
And it was another place Dillinger liked to hang out. It also has, the slug buried in the chimney of the building where he was sitting drinking a beer and somebody came in and took a pot shot at him. And it's just, you know, it's really cool. They do not do tours to their basement now, I guess, but employees have seen full-body apparitions.
Wow.
They hear voices. They hear gunshots. They feel like they're being watched. So they don't really care to go down there. That's where they keep their liquor. There were no reports that it was disappearing, though. So I guess these are better-behaved ghosts than what's happening with Slippery Noodle. Yeah. But staff says that they can tell there's at least a male spirit that hangs around downstairs because he tends to touch the female employees if they go down to get liquor or something.
Uh-huh.
And there's also, again, upstairs, the report of a woman who's dressed in early 20th century clothing. And she is also seen looking out the second story window.
Wow.
So, I thought that was kind of cool how they have very similar stories, but they also have a very similar history.
Yes, yeah. That is cool. I mean, you know, it's just you would expect maybe something different on them, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it's very, very similar.
Spirits, once they start getting into an area, they... You know, it's going to stay there, and they're going to continue to do so. So, whether it be a winery or whatever, it's and there is a winery down here, and you know, and I haven't been to it yet, and I really need to set a time aside and go down. But there's a winery not too far from where we are, just east of Tampa, called Bully Hill Winery. And we've had them on. We had them on about a year ago, I think. And they are haunted also. But they have Indian spirits that play with them. And they, she said that, Bully Hill, too, by the way, I have to give them a little plug. They are very green. So they recycle everything, redo everything, all that. Very, very, very green winery. Try to keep everything as much green as possible. So good for them. But they give tours every Saturday night. They give ghost walks. They say they have to carry their keys with them everywhere because if they walk out of a building and no one's behind them or anything, if they walk out of a building, the doors close and lock. And so they have to carry the keys with them because if not, they'll be locked out of the doors all the time. So it's just like every time they go up to the door, they have to unlock it because they are locked. They said that the pet cemetery that they have, the pet grave markers they have of the pets that they've had over the years, they have a little area. And they said that the little gravestones for the pet cemetery are moved. They're put in different spots and rearranged and stuff like that. And they said, no, go back and they'll put them back in the areas that they're supposed to be. But then, you know, a week or so later, they'll be moved again. And that's happened. And, you know, not to mention noise inside of buildings and different things. And people who have been on the ghost walk, and again, every Saturday night they have a ghost walk. People have been on the ghost walk, so they've actually seen some apparitions and some movements and stuff that cannot be attributed to anything other than possibly some sort of a spirit. So it's a cool place, and they've done history on it. They said that the ghosts are Indian ghosts, all early Indian Seminole tribes and some others that are in the area there. They found lots of arrowheads and lots of different types of Indian artifacts in the area. So just another neat little place. And tours are open for everybody. So if anybody's in the Tampa area and you want to check out a ghost winery, it's just east, Bully Hill, just east of the Tampa area here.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it is. It really, and I haven't been there, and it's really a shame because, you know, I keep wanting to go there. And it's there are ghost walks on Saturday nights, and Saturdays are usually pretty busy at the winery, and I just don't close up and make it down there and do it. And I really need to do it and just, you know, suck it in and just make the trip and do it. But it is cool. It's cool that we have one that close right here in the Tampa area.
Cool. Very cool.
There are, you know, and like you were saying, and it's true, there are these haunted hotels and motels and wineries and liquor establishment and saloons and all that all over the country that are haunted if you open your mind and just, you know, say, okay, what is that? There's nothing I can explain there. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that don't believe us, but I'll tell you what, this is really a cool thing to talk about.
Okay, are you ready for a haunted library?
Sure.
Okay. This is in Evansville, Indiana. And it's Willard Library. And I actually went to this library two years ago. They were doing a genealogy seminar. And, of course, along with cemeteries, I like that too. So
yeah, oh yeah.
I dig up your ancestors. It just makes sense. So I went, and I was in their side room on the second floor. It's a very, very small building. It's built in the 1800s. It was the first free public library private library that allowed women and African Americans to check out books.
Oh.
So it was extremely progressive for that time. And when I was there at the seminar, I'm sitting, I came in late, of course, seems to be my my path in life, but I come in, you know, and there's a chair near the back, maybe two rows up from the back wall, And there's someone sitting to the left and to the right, and there's three chairs. So I sit in the middle one where I have an empty one on each side of me. And we're maybe 15, 20 minutes into the discussion, and someone stroked the back of my hair. And I looked around, and I looked at the people behind me, and they're all looking at me like, whoa, what's wrong? And I turned around, and it couldn't have been more than 5 minutes later, it happened again.
Oh.
And I whipped back around, and I said, who touched my hair? And everybody's going, no, none of us did. So by then, people are thinking, crazy lady, okay.
Yeah,
don't look at her. The third time it happened, I turned to the guy on my left, and I said, did you touch my hair? And he's like, no, I didn't. And I turned to the woman on my right, and she's holding up her hand going, no, it wasn't me. And the whole room is looking at me, and I'm thinking, this is really awkward, but somebody touched my hair. So when I was done, I picked up everything. You know, everybody gave me a wide berth to walk out of the room.
I can imagine, yeah.
And I go up to the librarian at the desk, and I said, I know this sounds bizarre, but I was just in this room, and I had someone stroke my hair three times. And she looks at me, and she said, oh, you just had an encounter with the gray lady. This is the last thing in the world. I did not know this place had a reputation of being haunted. And I said, okay. And she gives me a little flyer that they have printed up.
They have a flyer?
About the gray lady. Yes, yeah. Yes. And she gives me the phone number of the library director, whom I call when I come home. And he said, that would be the gray lady. That's our resident ghost.
Wow.
Okay. So in October, they do haunted tours. So a friend and I took a haunted tour in October, and we get the story of it. So I decided last year I wanted to do a blog on it.
Uh-huh.
And when I contacted them, they said, well, actually, we have a group called the Willard Library Ghost Chatterers. And they come, they make an annual trip and do a paranormal investigation every year. So I contacted the lady in charge and, you know, told her I write a grave interest and was interested in the resident spirit of the library. And she very kindly invited me and two photogs to go with me to join their group last year. Well, they did an overnight at the library.
Oh, an overnight.
Oh, Ron, it was the coolest thing in the world. Because, you know, they're shutting you in the library, and it's after dark, and I love libraries. And this is an old one, and you still have that, you know, old book smell. From childhood. It's a very, to me, it's a very cool, comforting place. And I'm thinking, okay, ghosts. Well, we'll see. And then they start telling me the things that have happened to them. They've done this since 2000.
Wow.
And they're telling me the stories and showing me photos where they've caught, you know, light bouncing between book stacks, books just sailing off the shelves across the room, water in the janitor's sink that just turns on and off randomly, employees have had shadows pass them as they go up these gorgeous Victorian stairs. But they've had shadow people slide right past them and go on up. The group has picked up the EVPs, the electronic voice phenomena in different rooms. They can hear a little boy. They can hear a woman. Sometimes they can pick up a man. But nobody really knows who the gray lady is. It could be, and, you know, I use this lightly because I don't think so, but some people say it could be Louise Carpenter. She is the founder's daughter. Willard Carpenter is the one who actually had the library built. And actually, she didn't live there when that happened, and she was very unhappy when he died because he left his money to the library.
To the library.
to her. So I don't really see her haunting the place. I just see her being unhappy with the place. But it seems to me more likely that it was one of the librarians. And they did have a librarian who always worked in the children's room. And this is where the Gray Lady is seen the most. And she always wore a lilac or a lavender perfume. She worked in the early part of the 19th century. And she spent her entire life there until she died. I think it was the 40s or the 50s. And, you know, she is known to touch the female patron's hair or earrings.
There you
and
go.
And when I heard that, I thought,
there it is.
Yeah. That was her. Okay. And that's one thing the director asked me. He said, what color is your hair? And I said, red. And he said, oh, she's partial to redheads. Like, thanks. So I go on this last year thinking, should I have, like, worn a hat? Or,
yeah.
But I had nothing happen. I did not experience anything, nor did the people who were with me. But the paranormal group came up with some different things and showed me some photos and some videos later that were, you know, you look at them and go, okay, that could be, or not. I'm going to be skeptical about this.
Yes.
But it was really, really a cool night. And to have been, you know, locked in the library all night is like, oh, that's such a cool story.
Yeah, that is. That is. I like libraries, too. I just, it's, and, you know, to be able to spend the night in an old library. I know the old book smell. That's a classic smell, yes.
Yes, it is cool.
Yeah.
They will be doing that again this Saturday night. So,
oh, really? Yeah.
It'll be their 14th year.
Started in 2001.
What they hear or see.
Yeah, I always love it when people embrace their ghost. You said there's so many of them that don't do it, and I don't understand why. It would seem to me like it would create business and a reputation and stuff, and and if people are skeptical, then that's okay. But you know, if you don't say anything about it, who's going to know?
You will love this. Willard Library actually has a ghost cam. You can get on the internet. You go to willardghost.com, and they have cameras set up through the library that are real time, and you will see where people have posted photos. There are people that monitor these in their spare time, and they have posted some pretty convincing photos. And I thought that was something I found out last year when we were doing this overnight, is people could watch us on the ghost cam. So it was like Big Brother of the ghost world. But yeah, you can go on there anytime and take a look at the library, which is, like I said, a very cool Victorian library. But you can monitor those, and people will talk about what they've seen, or, you know, here's a photo, and people will debunk it or say, well, now, maybe where was the lighting? And so maybe some of your listeners want to go there sometime.
Yeah, willardsghost.com.
It's, willardghost.com.
Willard Ghost.
Willard.
No S?
Nope.
Okay. It's all right.
But you can have some fun with that Halloween night.
Yeah, that would be fun because they have it on all the time. You can, you know, check out the people and everything. Yeah. Well, that
you
would be fun.
You've got to appreciate that.
Well, Joy, I'm going to thank you for spending time with us tonight. It is always a pleasure to do the Ghost Show with you, because you have a lot of stories and, you wonder graveyards, so what more can I say?
Well, we haven't even gotten started, so you just tell me next time you want a spooky story and I'm ready.
Okay, I will do that. I will continue to, you know, quote some stuff from your blog and stuff like that and promote it as much as I can. I hope it's getting, you know, traffic because of it. And
I appreciate it.
Good. And we will definitely be in touch, and we'll get you back on again. We'll do some more ghost talking. Maybe Well, you know, Mike might be back with us next week. If I email him and all that, you know, if you're free next week, you said you were free for 2 weeks here. Maybe maybe we might get you on next week with Mike on with us.
Oh, so, cool. Yeah, he takes some of the coolest pictures.
Yeah, he's really into a lot of that cemetery stuff, so that's always fun with him, too.
Yeah,
so, very good. I will let you go. I will be emailing you, and I'll email Mike, and we'll see. Maybe we can get you on next week. So all of you listeners out there, think of this as part one of the Joy Neighbors of Joy, Joy of Wine, and A Grave Interest, and her new site coming out next month. So we'll look at getting you on next week, and I'll get a hold of Mike, and I'll let you know, and we'll go from there.
Sounds great, Ron. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Joy, and have yourself a wonderful week, and I'll be in touch.
All right, great. Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right. Wonderful show with Joy. And we will get her on next week. We will do that again. She has lots of stories and all that. Lots of things to talk about, no doubt, and ghosts and all. And Mike will be back with us next week. I believe Mike's he is not available this week, but next week he'll be back with us. So we'll bring Joy back, and we'll talk some more about ghosts, and we'll talk some more about the ghost wineries and haunted places and graveyards and stuff. Mike and Joy seem to enjoy talking about that, even though we are all about wine. We also, as the opening says, we tend to stray every once in a while, and that string, though, I think is a lot of fun. The caller that called in, sorry if you just wanted to listen on the line. Sorry I interrupted you. I didn't mean to. And if you want to talk, you want to call in with us. I didn't announce the phone number at the beginning here. Mike always does, and I didn't do it. I forgot, actually. The guest call-in line is, as always, 646-727-3235. Nothing happening at the winery this weekend to announce or anything. We've had a good start to the month. If you're in the area, stop by. If you have any suggestions for the show, get in touch with me through email. That is allaboutwinebtr. Is that right? Allaboutwinebtr at gmail.com or Facebook page, All About Wine BTR. Or any number of ways, go to the Florida Estates Winery site, and you can contact me through that. That's corp at Flewn, FLEWN.com. Or you can go onto the Facebook page there for the winery and leave me a message. I will be in touch with you on all those. So, thanks to Joy for joining us tonight. And we'll hopefully get it together for next week and get Joy back on. We'll have Mike join us again, and we'll get another episode of Ghost Wineries, and I'll see what I can find for the 30th of this month, right the day before Halloween, and we'll see if we can't get that Virginia winery on or something like that. So, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening on Archives or however you're listening to the show. We do appreciate it, and we'll see you next week.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida Estates Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@flewn.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Follow the Armed Forces Radio Network on Twitter at the AFRN and on Facebook at facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio. Thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.